Bless God. It's God is good. All the time. You may be seated. I phoned my wife yesterday and said, I'm stopping here. I'm going to become a Nigerian citizen. And of course, the trouble isn't my colour. You'll always notice if I'm not in church. So if I backslide, you'll be able to help me. Now, Bishop, I honour you. And I looked at Bishop yesterday, and Bishop didn't wear a tie. So I thought, that's it. You don't wear a tie. And the bishop is led by the Spirit, and I'm led by the bishop. Now, when you go to various countries preaching, you take all your best sermons with you. And I brought 400 with me, and haven't used one. Except last night, which is what I'm preaching next week when I get home. But I want to tell you about last night. When we started to worship at the end, something happened, and you may or may not have perceived it. The Tuesday before I came away, one of my worship leaders, during the meeting, the Holy Spirit took over, and we started worshiping in tongues and prophetic song. And one of my worship leaders came to me and he said to me, I don't know if you heard it, but the music and the singing that was taking place wasn't coming from the worship team. I was just accompanying them because it was a sound beyond that. Last night when we were worshiping, I heard voices above the choir. I heard music beyond the band, and I heard praise beyond you. And I sat there listening to it. That's twice in a week that I've heard the angelic host entering into our worship. Now, I want to tell you this. It's not that they have come down. It's that our worship has risen up. Let me say that again. It's not that they came down to join us, it's that our worship last night entered into the heavenlies. And we went to where they are, and they joined us because our worship went to a level where they are based. And when we get near to the very throne of God, you see, Christ came down once, the Holy Spirit came down once, but they're there to take us up. And it's not a case of asking God to come down. What we should be asking is to lift us up, because we're seated with him in heavenly places. And we're saying, Holy Spirit, come down. And he says, I came down 2,000 years ago. Come up. Come up to where I am. Be seated with me in heavenly places. And so today, seeking God, what I should do, I just want to continue in Hebrews about the consuming fire, because it's the same fire that Elijah called down from heaven. Is that okay? In Hebrews 12, I want us to read a little bit more of this. Now, what I love about Hebrews is this. We don't know who wrote it. We have speculation, we have thought, we have no proof. And what I like about that is if we knew, we would put their character on the book. If we knew it was Luke, we'd say, well, of course, Luke was like this. If we thought it was Paul, we'd say, well, Paul was like this. Well, because we don't know, we have to read it for what it is, without any influence of human thought. So when we read Hebrews, it's a dynamic book. It's an incredible book. And I don't really care who wrote it, as long as what was written was truth. Do I hear an amen? In Hebrews 12, listen to this. Listen to this. But you have come, verse 22, but you have come to a Mount Zion. You've come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Stay there. An innumerable company of angels. How many angels, ladies and gentlemen, do we need to see God move? Do you know what? In England, I don't know about Africa, but there's a fixation with the demonic. There's a fixation with the demonic. In England, more ministries are casting demons out of people than putting God into them. We're casting demons out of everything. But the Bible says that those that are for us, those that are for us are greater than those that are against us. When the children of Israel were in rebellion and God was very tired with them, he said this to Moses, I will send you an angel. How many? One. How many? I'll send you one angel and he will lead a million people through the wilderness into the promised land. I will send you one angel. And Moses said, if you do not go with me, I'm not going anywhere because I don't worship angels. I worship the God of angels. One angel. One angel. One angel could lead a million people. When God judged Egypt, he sent an angel. And an angel took out all the firstborn. And I want to encourage you today that the writer says, you are part of the city of God, surrounded by myriad and myriad and myriad and myriad of angels. Because those that are for us are greater than those that are against us. When Satan was thrown out of heaven, only one third of the angels fell with him. Two thirds are still by the side of Christ. Two thirds. And yes, we do battle against the demonic, but that which is in us is greater. That which is in us is mightier. That which is in us is superior to that which is in the world. We have nothing to fear. We have no reason to doubt, because we are part of the redeemed, the city of Zion. And if we need to know the fire and the power of God, we've got to have having assurance of who we are in Christ Jesus. We're part of the generation of the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as those things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Do I hear an amen? Now, yesterday we said that God's fire in this instance is not a destructive fire, it's a purifying fire. It takes that which has been offered on the altar of God and he purifies it, because we are part of the firstborn church. We are part of the group of Zion. We're part of the myriad in heaven. Our names are registered for the conference. We are part of that body of Christ. So that our God to us is a purifying, sanctifying, holy God, and he's working in us a purification. But we said yesterday there's a discipline and an expectation that is needed in our lives to see this happen. And we looked and we saw, first of all, that we must be people who move in the grace of God. And we explained that yesterday, and we won't go into that because you can get the recording. Secondly, we saw it was important to serve God. And then thirdly, we saw there was a need for the reverence of God, a respect of God. Fourthly, this morning, and we just done it yesterday, it says that those people who are subject to this consuming fire are people who have the fear of God. Now, the scriptures are full of the deep respect of the Lord. The fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. And if you ask for wisdom, as James says, and James says, if you ask of God, he'll give it liberally and hold nothing back. We need, if ever we need it as leaders today, is the wisdom of God above the wisdom of men. We need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We need to know the timings. We need to know the seasons. Jesus said that you can see the seasons on the trees. You need to see the seasons in the Spirit. You need to know when to plant. You need to know when to pluck up. You need to know when to water. You need to know when to lay fallow. We need to know, not a formula, but we need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church in this day, in this nation, in my nation, in this world. We're living in a world which is marginalized. We're living in a world which is full of sin and hatred and evil and killing and kidnapping. We're living in a world of uncertainty. Ordinary people are being killed and maimed and blown up all around the world. Sin abounds. Sin abounds. Yet the Bible says where sin abounds, grace, 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 much more abounds. We are part of the solution, not part of the problem. We're part of God's answer, not God's question. We're part of God's power, not his weakness. We are the church of the redeemed. I said this morning, we are the church of the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord, let the redeemed of the Lord stand up. Let the redeemed of the Lord, let the redeemed of the Lord, let the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. We have the power to speak peace in war, righteousness in corruption. When the church loses its fear of God, it responds to the fear of men. When the church loses the fear of God, it responds to the fear of men. We start to fashion our beliefs based on the fear of men. We fashion our services based on the fear of men. We change our sexuality through the fear of men. But the fear of God is the beginning. Only the beginning. There's more. It's the beginning of all wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. On the 5th of September, 1666, in England, there was a fire called the Great Fire of London. There were 80,000 homes in London in 1666. 70,000 were burnt to the ground. Only 10,000 homes remain. And you say, tragic. No. It started in a bread shop, in a baker's shop. And it destroyed London. But what came out of that fire was Londoners were dying every day by the Black Plague. Rats had come off the ships and was killing the population of London. And that one fire destroyed all the plague. They rebuilt London. The plague was killed. And we're living in a time, my brothers and sisters, where there's a plague in the nations. There's a plague on the earth. But only the fire of God will purify it, kill it, and set the people free. We can rebuild nations. We can rebuild churches. But we cannot give life to the dead. The Bible says they're dead while they live. We need the fire. I said we need the fire. You heard Bishop say this morning that one man stood in a corrupt nation. See, you can be a holy man and still have a corrupt nation. You can be in revival in your church, your city can still be corrupt. The revival does not necessarily change the nation, but it should do. And Elijah stood there and he had to stand as one man against the nation. It was the fire that actually solved the problem. Not more meetings, not bigger meetings, not greater worship as good as these things are, not more preaching as good as this is, it's the fire. The fire can achieve in one day more than we can do in a lifetime. God can do more in one day than we can do in a lifetime. I felt the Holy Spirit come on me 2 years ago when I went to a church. And the pastor said, "Minister if you wish." And I said, "All I'll do is shake hands with people as they leave." And as the people left, there was about 400 in the congregation, I prophesied over every single person, and in that one act, the whole of the church was transformed. The pastor said, "I've never seen anything like it in my life. You knew the story of every single person who walked past you that day." You see, it wasn't energy, it wasn't gifting, it was the fire of God. The fire of God spoke to 400 people personally that one day. I can't do that. I can't teach you how to do that. People come to me and say, "Pastor Dave, can you teach me how to move in the gifts?" And I go, "No. I can teach you how to know the giver." You see, leaders, there's no quick fix. There's no formula. I was in Australia preaching, and I wake up very early in the morning, because old men do, you see. Old men wake up very early in the morning. They don't need much sleep. They sleep in the day while you're talking to them. I can fall asleep while I'm preaching. Now, you've got to realize my story. If you don't understand my story, you won't understand what I'm saying. I told you the other day, I was completely illiterate till I was 18. I couldn't read or write. I had 5 major phobias. I couldn't be in the dark or I'd hyperventilate. I had to have the light on all the time. I couldn't be near people. I'd hide from people. I'd run out into the yard and hide. As a child, I'd hide under the table. I couldn't look at people. I was a twin, and the other died. That was my life. I couldn't get near doctors or dentists. I never went to the dentist for 30 years. And when the first time I went to a dentist, they had to inject me with Valium while I was just in the waiting room. I couldn't get near water, I would hyperventilate. I couldn't have a shower, I could only have a bath. Because if any water got near my head, I'd panic and stop breathing. I couldn't get near animals. If a dog came near me, I'd freeze. If a cat came near me, I'd panic. The only animals I could look at are fish in a bowl. I used to cry myself to sleep and wished I'd never been born. I used to say to God, "Why did you make me like this? If there's a God," because I have 2 brothers. One was over 18 hospitals, and the other was an architect. Both became pastors. And I was a bouncer, a doorman in a nightclub. I was paid to beat people up. That's how I've got a broken nose. I was beaten up by four drug addicts. I had an uncontrollable temper. I knocked a woman out once, not proud of it. I knocked a man over the pews in a church once, not proud of it. I wished I'd never been born. I would never have my photograph taken. I hated myself. I would stand here like this. I never did any exams at school. I was the only person in the school's history that when it was exam time, they sent me home. They said, you can't even put your name on the paper. They gave up on me. Because you see, I was acutely dyslexic, left-handed, dyslexic. And in 1945, when I was born, there was not dyslexia. You were just stupid. You were lazy. You were silly. And the teachers used to cane me and beat me. And the other children used to beat me up. And I used to lie in bed crying night after night, if there's a God. If there's a God, why have you made me like this? And God started to speak to me because I couldn't read or write. And he spoke to me just like I'm speaking to you. So I have a relationship with God maybe you haven't got. I speak to him just like he's my friend. And he said to me, Dave. He called me Dave. Dave, I didn't make you like this. Life has made you like this, but I can make you different. I can make you part of the redeemed, the church of the firstborn, registered in heaven, myriad of angels. I can put you there and I can fill you with my fire. I can fill you with my fire. In fact, it's easier for me to do it for you because you haven't got anything. You've got nothing to give up except your weaknesses and your excuses. So I came to the Lord and I said this, if you're God, and he doesn't mind you speaking like this, if you're God, change me. And I said this respectfully, for God's sake, change me. And suddenly, I found that my uncontrollable temper had gone. So I had to give my job up. I couldn't hit people anymore. I liked them, which is dangerous. And I couldn't read and nobody taught me, but I picked up a Bible one day. And I said, Lord, how can I learn about you if I can't read? And the Lord said, open it. Open it. And without anybody helping me, in 2 years, I could read the Bible and also those awkward words that nobody can say. I could read the Bible. Within 2 more years, I could do maths in my head. Within 5 years, I was in the top 300 life insurance salesmen in the world. Within another 5 years, I managed 700 of the world's leading footballers and toured around the world doing transfers, having my story told by the national newspapers, being on television and radio, flying in private jets, a guest on the Orient Express, a guest in Monte Carlo, meeting all the big stars, motor racing stars, television stars, all this. And the Lord said to me one day, son, who gave you this? Who gave you this? I actually lecture at universities. That's a laugh, isn't it? Who gave you all this? I said, you did. He said, then who does it belong to? I said, you. He said, I want it back. I want you to go and be a preacher of the word. But I've not been to theological college. I'm not a proper preacher. He said, listen, I invented the theology that they tried to teach. But he said, you will not know any of this till you be filled with the Holy Spirit. I got massively filled with the Holy Spirit. Spoke in tongues, interpreted, prophesied, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, all came at the same time. Words of healing. Boom! Lying on the floor for hours. Boom! Uhu shakamarekeke. Ushuku umbaba. Chake. Ukuku. Ubaba. Iki. Fire. 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 So I'm sitting in my bed in Australia. And the Lord said to me, Dave. Yes, Lord. The family haven't got up yet, Dave. Yes, Lord. I want you to look at the book of Matthew and read the red bits. You know what those are? The words of Jesus, red bits. Just read the red bits and read all Matthew and come back to me when you're finished. So I read all the red bits. And I came back. And he said, well. I said, Lord, these are unbelievable. These are life-changing. But we don't preach them nowadays. And he said, I know. Because if you preach my words, three things will happen. The religious will be offended. The intellectuals will be embarrassed. But to those who are being saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. And from that moment on, ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't care what people say. It's what Jesus says. And I preach Christ and Him crucified. And pioneered a church with four people. And by God's grace saw it grow to 2,000, which in England was quite sizable. And then started planting other churches and getting people who were cleverer than I was to work for me. So they could do the things I couldn't do. Why was that? Because I'm part of the church of the firstborn. I'm part of the myriad of people. Because I'm part of the person who is living in grace, serving God, living in the reverence of God, and living in the fear of God. Because the fear of God gives me all the wisdom I need. Do I hear an amen this morning? Do I really hear an amen?
Amen?
You see, when the fire of God comes upon us, our values and our standards and our morality and our sexuality, spirituality is being eroded by the fear of man. But when the Holy Spirit comes on, we do not live our lives according to men, we live them according to God. When you're in the fire of God, your morality changes, your perception changes, your intellect changes. Because the Holy Spirit affects it all. It changes it. And so now you see things through the perspective of God and not through the perspective of man. What is man that God is mindful of him? You have the mind of Christ. You see, if the fire doesn't change who we are, why is it coming? The fire is an answer to the prayers of the saints. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The fire comes at the response of the cry for help. Help! 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 We need the fire. Help! In 1 Corinthians 3, 12 to 16, it says, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Because God is a consuming fire. In Daniel 3:25, Jesus positioned himself in the fire that brought the people out of persecution. In 2 Kings 2:11, Elijah, it was the chariot of fire. But it says this, and the chariot separated him from Elisha. The Holy Spirit will separate you from other people. Not isolate you, separate you. Now, why did Elijah go in a chariot of fire? Because he was prophetically showing what would happen after the day of Pentecost. Because after the day of Pentecost, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I die, we are escorted by the power of the Holy Spirit and the angelic host into the presence of God. We do not see death any longer the same as before the Holy Spirit came. When the Holy Spirit came, he changed the concept of death. We are people that the Old Testament people never knew. We are people that can face death in a different way. Death, where is your sting, said Jesus. Grave, where is your victory? Make my day. Jesus said, the sting of death, gone. And when he went in that chariot of fire, that fire shows one day how we would go into the heavenly places. We have passed from death unto life. And even though our mortal body may die, sir, we are released from the power of death. I don't believe Christians will see death. I've never believed that Christians will see death. I believe that just before we die, the Holy Spirit comes and they take us out of our body. The angelic host take us to the bosom of Abraham. The grave is not our goal, my brother Bishop.
Yes, sir. Yes.
If we understood this fully, we would be out there now changing our community.
Yeah.
The greatest thing that the world fears is death. Christ defeated it once and for all. Defeated. And the chariot that went up into heaven said, if I can do that with Elijah, I'll do it with you. Every one of us here will die. Yet if we're people of the Holy Spirit, we'll be transported in the same chariot into the presence of God. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Right, come on, we're running out of time. Are you still with me? It's those who are saved by the fire that walk in the valley of shadows. There's no fear in the shadows unless you are a child of immaturity. The light diffuses and exposes that death has no substance in the Christian. The beggar Lazarus was transferred by the angelic host. I love that. The hymn writer put it well. Moses changed his destiny by a bush burning which was not consumed. You see, every time the Holy Spirit confronts us, it's got to change us. We've got to be changed. I'm fed up of having good nights at church. I'm fed up of just having great experiences at conferences, as good as they are. This conference is not just to give you a good experience. I know, knowing the bishop, is to give you a God experience. We need to know the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to talk our walk and walk our talk. We need to be able to see God do miracles. Lushokamoro, pukaramate, e kako, oo bababab, ikikiki, ushokamomobobo. Forget what I've got written there. You've come here today as mature leaders with a hunger for God, true or false? True or false? Some of you are far more experienced than I am and far more academically trained than I will ever be. You know more of the Bible I'll ever know. Put that to one side. Why have you come? Why have I come all the way from England? Why am I at my age chasing around like a maniac? Have I come just to hear myself speak? I could be at my own church. I'm being honest. Why have I come? Why have you come? I've come because it says the God that answers by fire. That's what I've come for. Because I want to come into an experience of the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to come into a fresh experience that doesn't just come by speaking in tongues. It comes by the power of God. I want to see cancers leave body. I want to see dementia leave minds. I want to see barren women have babies. See, knowledge doesn't do that, but knowledge in the Holy Spirit does. I'm just leaving that to one side now because I just want to pray if that's all right, Bishop, and hand back because I've almost said enough. Even though I've got reams of stuff written there I wrote last night, I just want to leave it there. I just feel God's telling me to say something. You know, I was at a conference like this and they brought in a worship leader who was a well-known worship leader. And I did not know that that week he and his wife had been to a clinic to see a doctor because they couldn't have babies. And he was singing that day with a heavy heart because the doctor had told him and his wife they were both infertile, both. And neither could ever produce a child, ever. And if they'd have married other people, neither could have had children. He said it's very rarely that a young man and a young woman are totally infertile. I didn't know that. But he came in faith and he led worship. And I'm standing here preaching. And I'm saying, Lord, I don't need to hear myself preach. What do you want to do today? He said, see that worship leader? Go up to him. I called him and his wife out. She's a model from America. Called them out. I said, that which you've been looking for will happen in November. November, Daniel was born. The doctor said it was an impossibility. I had a phone call from a consultant at our local hospital last year. Can I come and see you? Not a Christian. He said, can you tell me why this scan was done on Friday with severe cancer in the woman's womb? Can you tell me why? And can you tell me why on Monday this scan says she's totally whole? Can you tell me? And then he said, is it divine? I said, yes. Yes. I loved it when a woman come running down the middle of the church, waving a folder like this. And some of my Nigerian doctors looked at it and laughed. Because on the one slide, she was totally eaten away with cancer. And the other slide, it showed she'd had an operation and the cancer had been taken away and there were scars through the operation, but she never had an operation. And my doctor said, this is the Holy Spirit, you see, because Jesus is the physician and the Holy Spirit is the surgeon dividing bone from marrow. He'd cut it out. She had another scan 3 months later and the scars had gone. That's the God I worship. That's the God I worship. That's the God I want to know. That's the God I want to release on the people. That's the one I want to take to the Emirates and all those countries. That's the God I need in the UK. That's the God we need in Nigeria. That's the God we need in Kenya. A woman came to our meeting in Kenya, one of the leaders, dying of AIDS. Prayed for her. Mushakababa, ekebebi. Simple as that. She rushes off to the clinic, gets a blood test at the end of the conference, runs in with a piece of paper, I'm healed of AIDS. So I've just laid all that aside. Could have gone into deeper teaching. No, just want to say this and I'm going to hand back. The bishop can then do whatever is his duty to do. Who's come for the fire? If you've come for the fire, stand up. Let's just close our eyes. We're saved by grace through faith. I want you to put your hand on your heart. Are you living by grace? That means by the power of God over sin. There's things in your life that you need to correct now. Correct them now. Maybe you've been hurt. People in church have upset you. Leaders have ignored you. Put that to bed now. Get rid of it now. We've come here to experience the fire. Now, put your hand on your heart. Begin to tell him what's in your heart. Now, I don't care if you're a bishop or an apostle or a prophet. Don't care if you're an elder, a pastor. We're not on about position here today. We're on about position. We want to position ourselves in with the fire. Begin to tell him. Quietly all over the place. Lord, I come to you now with clean hands and a pure heart. And you may be working for the Lord, but you're not serving him. Working for him and serving him are two different things. To serve him, you wash his feet. You give him a glass of water. By working for him, you go out preaching. Are you serving him? Labarusha, Takamaka, Ukukuku, Shikibebe, Obobo, 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 Oh, Baba. Ooh, chaka Baba. Ooh, chaka Baba. Ooh, chaka Baba. Ooh, 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 chaka. Ooh, kusha. Ooh, kusha. Ooh, chaka, chaka. Ooh, chaka, kusha. Ooh, kusha, chaka. Have you lost the respect for the awesomeness of God in the weariness of ministry? Do you need wisdom? Let the awesomeness, the fear of God, the beginning of wisdom, let it come into your heart now. Let there be a new perception of the greatness of God coming into your life now. Arushakama. Boshe koko rodaka akangama kuko. Shiki bebe ako muko kaka. Taka. Chunamo. Shula lamanie. Isho. Ushalale Tunga Makoko Ushama Ushe Ushe. Are you sick? Cancer, heart trouble, diabetes, barrenness. Ooh, show. Yao Tao Come on, all over the place, healing now in the name of Jesus. Shopao, Tang Yao Pao Yao, Mang Kong Chao, Kao Cho, Lo Chang Amang Ao, Pong Cheng Gay. Come on, be free in the name of Jesus now. By the fire of God, I call fire on you now. I call fire on you now. In the name of Jesus. Wholeness and healing and redirection and vision. Inspire them, inspire them. Rakababa, Ikurusho, Murubaba, Eke Keke, Shikibubu Murubo Shakamaba. Tanga, 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 Tanga. Rukukukukukuku. Barrenness be gone. Blindness be gone. Deafness be gone. Spinal trouble be gone. Fire! 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 Bring the fire now, Lord. Let the weak say, I am strong. Urababa shiki bebe, riba boba mushiko. Receive that now. Receive that now. It's for you now. Pastors, it's for you now. Refired, 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 refired. Bishops, refired. Apostles, refired. Rusho Maramakoko. Changa, Tanga, Changa, Changa, Makabobo. Riba, Riba, Riba. Pushaka Mebe, Hinderekeke. Ushakoko. Tunga Baba. Okay, keep going. Now start telling the Lord, I receive it now. I receive it now. I receive the fire now. I receive the fire now. Purify my heart, O God. Purify my vision. Heal my body. Kurushar, save my children. Save my children. Save my village and my town and my nation. Save them now. Rishuko Baba, receive the Holy Spirit. Fire, 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 fire. Receive the Holy Ghost now. We're ready, Lord, we're ready, we're ready, we're ready, we're ready, we're ready, we're ready. Come now, Holy Spirit, come now. Pour on your people, pour on your pastors, pour on your leaders. We are shaking in the heavenlies now. We bind the strong man. We release blessing, we release blessing. We release blessing and honor and glory upon your church, upon your church, upon your church. Shoka baba, risha kababa.